Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, afternoon, hello. Ma'am. How are you doing?
I am blessed. What about you?
I guess I'm blessed too.
Okay.
Maybe not by the same person as you, but.
No, or we are
both alive blessed today. Notwithstanding.
We are alive
yes,
today. Let us give
this
thanks.
This is true. Yes.
Or this is something that happened today, right? Mm. My friend, yesterday evening, he went to the doctor because he was presented with symptoms of the COVID-19, right? He said he went around 6 o'clock. He was told to go home and get to a polyclinic in the east tomorrow morning. He did that. He went to this morning and they did the necessary things to he, okay? And he was told that he'd be given something white to put on his feet. I know what it is, right? I know what it is, guys. Mm-hmm. The nurses in this zone. And he is to go home. When he called them, they told him they don't have any trust. He had to use the public transportation, which I was annoyed over. Okay? Good. When they finished with he, they dismissed him, say, okay, he's to go home, and he's going in quarantine at home. But they don't have any transportation to take him home. He now dressed in this white suit and was told he have to get home. The man have to walk about 6 miles to where he lives. I told him, take off his suit. You can't walk, you run that suit. People will stare. I don't mind the stares, but then people may even laugh. I tell you, you're only human and you're going to feel bad. Mm. At one time, the nurse looked at him and asked him what he's going to do. Don't take away from the body. Don't get any public transportation. That meant he had to walk about 6 miles to home, which I think is unfair. He walks with a limp because he suffers with his knee and his hip. And that poor gentleman had to walk, I don't know if he get home yet, 6 miles to his house. I mean, they said they didn't have any transportation. She asked him what he's going to do. I know that we're overwhelmed. I know. But my gosh, could dear, you just get sad news that it looks so good to you and make you feel bad, and then to walk home.
Has he been told that he's COVID positive?
No, they said the symptoms relate to that, okay? The symptoms, but the test, this is his first time. They did the test, which he said made him cry, a big heart, Batman crying. It's uncomfortable. And he said that he has to wait on the results, but you need to go home and do not communicate. No, nobody come at his house, nothing.
Yeah. No, that's the standard thing. You self-isolate and waiting the results. The test is uncomfortable, but the idea of a big man crying, I think, is a bit of an overstatement. But I don't know, ma'am. Can you stay on the line? I'd be happy to discuss this with you further. Down to Brass Tacks. Are you still there, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, right. The situation with the guy, I think it's unfortunate. I had been told that there were some facilities being provided to transport people in this type of situation. However, it would appear as though that too has been overwhelmed and they were unable to provide that for him. So under the circumstances, they said to him, you know, it's probably best not to use public transportation.
He walked, got wet, it was raining, all of that.
Yeah. How long ago this happened?
This morning, he called me. He just got home about 10 minutes ago. He leave up there a little after 11.
What's the situation with, what does he think that he has been in contact with someone who was, who had been diagnosed?
He do not know. I remember after having a conversation when that bus crawl stopped in St. Philip, he was up there. He told me, I said, tell me the truth. He said he was out there outside. I said, did you go back to the bar? Tell me the truth. He said, no. He said, no. Then he works in an area that is frequented by visitors. And I guess you would know where I'm talking about. Visitors that come into the island. I don't know. I don't know. He don't even know. He's not sure. He has the symptoms. But he's not sure if he had been called. He still is. He knows he just got tested, so he have to await his results. But all the symptoms he have now is leading up to that.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's one of those situations in which clearly there should have been a facility to provide him with some kind of transport to get home.
Yeah,
sadly, he had to take public transport to get there. But for him to get back home, and then also what happens to him after, because if he has to be in isolation, the presumption is that he would have to be picked up by some kind of transportation to take him there. And I'm no concern about the number. Yeah, no, but they would have transportation at that time. You would just have to wait at home until such time as the vehicle comes.
He told me that he's not leaving home anybody walking to like his mom's business door. He advised them to bring what they have and put on his step, and he would come out and take up. Right, I tell him to spray the evenly knob in case they're missing touch his door knob outside. You know, the necessary things that would help them from from getting, if it's that, from getting it.
Yeah. So he's being responsible, then. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, he
which is.
I am behind him. He is responsible.
Yeah.
I'm behind him.
Yeah.
But it hurt. Right. It brought tears to my eyes this morning.
Yeah. No. The testing, as I was saying to you, the testing process is unpleasant.
That's just a little one-off thing. But
yeah.
It's a treatment that I'm looking at. He had to walk almost 6 miles to home. He said that he got two people stopped to give him a ride. He advised them that he just came from having a test done and he's not, not getting anybody's vehicle. And I warned him, I said, even have any public transport this morning. I warned him not to.
Yeah, but he had to get there. He had a car, so,
So suppose somebody sit in that seat where he just got up from, what happened?
Well, I mean, I'm hoping that the bus owner would have sanitized in between trips, as they're normally told.
I don't know. He was wearing a mask, the vehicle while they're touching and everything. They talk about touching and everything. Yeah. Peter, you know, this thing is serious.
It is a serious problem, ma'am. But you know, my thing is that we also have to remember that the ability to provide support for everyone that is possibly affected is challenging. You know,
it's very, very challenging.
I tell people here that, you know, when I went for my test, I'm in walking distance, so it's fine. But for a lot of people who go for tests, they have to take public transport. And it's the same vehicle that you're standing in. You know, in some instances standing, some instances sitting, and you know, it's the best that you can do under the circumstances. So it makes it challenging, and that's why we basically say to people, try not to go unless you absolutely have to.
And in those
cases, then you do the best you can. So,
would it mean that he broke quarantine?
Yeah, he would pretty much because under no circumstance
do not go out of that house
to leave home. Yeah,
do not leave home.
I mean, what I would say to him is that if he feels unwell at any point in time, if his condition deteriorates, you know, he would need to call the COVID hotline or call an ambulance because clearly he is at risk of deterioration.
All right, there's a myth, right? A myth. I could say it's a myth that a ginger, turmeric, and melon, a couple of drops of melon juice help. I don't know about that. I only heard a doctor from Jamaica. He became ill in America, and his mother told him, "Do not forget our home remedy." He said that he used that, and it helped him. He bounced back. So I told him I was read upon it and see and speak to persons, and if it's useful, then I would get his daughter to take it, put it outside here, collect it.
Whether it's useful or not, the point is still that he was still it's not a cure, but there are several things which people can take to help them. I mean, like if you would treat a regular cold, it's the same way. But
like
what the challenge is that he's not going
to
be less infectious and he still is not cured. And I think that, but in the meantime, if there's anything he can take that would make himself feel better, I don't see any harm.
When people leave the isolation center, right? And they say they're okay to leave. You still have that virus in your body.
My understanding is that you're not allowed to leave it until the virus level in your body is not at a stage where you can affect anyone.
So, for example,
when Donald Trump came out, they said that he still had virus in his system. And it would have taken a while before the quantity of virus would be at a level where it would not be infectious.
So normally
it leaves. Basically, it doesn't, you're not allowed out in a uh-huh. in a situation where you can be affecting people.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
So if you're still infectious, then you would stay. Normally it's 2 weeks, but uh-huh. you know, in some people it may very well be taking longer to get out of your system, and, mm-hmm. and that is the issue. The other question that someone is asking here is whether you have been in contact with him at all.
Yes. Every 10 minutes.
Yeah. No. Have you been in physical contact with him?
No. I am 67, and I stay indoors every time being. You space out.
All right. Fair enough,
I'm scared.
All right. Well, I wish him and you all the best. I hope that his situation improves. I hope that he is able to get a negative result.
But in the meantime, I hope that
he is able to just get things sorted out, you know?
Yes. Okay
ma'am. Take care. Thank you for calling. It is now 12:51. Okay. We are on the radio with you until 2 p.m. So we have about an hour. Remember, you can call us on 434-1790. You can also WhatsApp me on 266-IVOB. You could also use the email peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you sometime before we go. And two quick WhatsApp messages here. Peter, I wonder if a visitor would have been made to walk if we are reimbursing visitors, delays in testing, but we have no transportation for this poor man having to walk 6 miles to home. This is who we are. Well, this is who you are. Son has arrived in Barbados since the 3rd of January with a negative test. He had his last test on Tuesday. All they know, he's holed up in a hotel. Can't get any information. This thing is causing very much stress and anxiety. Yes, ma'am, we appreciate that. And that would go for the 3 or 4 other people who have messaged on this chat saying the same thing, that they arrived in Barbados and they've been waiting for 24, 48, 72 hours and beyond, waiting for the test, and they're calling the hotline and they cannot get any answer. We accept that this is a challenge. It's a problem. It's unacceptable, and you know, the best I can tell you is that the authorities are aware of the situation and are trying to deal with it as quickly as possible. Listen to Brassas, giving the impression that people are not aware of the impact of COVID. Hospitals are overrun in some states. The ambulance drivers, because of circumstances, are given the right to make the decisions on who will live or die. After the 3rd of November election, with 2 months left as presidency, Trump and the top people at the Pentagon and intelligence agency hired unqualified lackeys, and many of them were scratching their heads. This is a plan coup headed by the president of the United States. The people who invaded the Capitol were sycophants, groupies, lackeys, adulterers, back scratchers, back slappers, bootlickers, doormats, fans, formers, flutterers, flunkies, grovelers, hangers-on, minions, parasites, politicians, puppets, slaves, brown-nosers, handshakers, and not necessarily in that order of the president of the United States. That's a shopping list of this world, man. Down to Brass Stacks, good afternoon. Okay, another WhatsApp message. Peter, this guy is crying, but I do know a youngster who's describing her. So his point is the best holiday he ever had. He said he was having a ball. I really laughed until I cried when I heard him talking about what a good time he was having while giving all the details. Good for him. Down to Brass Stacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir. How are you doing? This is Uncle Mark.
I'm fairly well.
Your phone ain't working so good, man. Well, you don't get a proper phone?
It got COVID-19.
The phone got COVID? Is it short COVID or the long COVID?
It's a short COVID, only for now.
The short COVID. All right, no problem. How are you doing?
I good. What I'm concerned about, Peter, is that there's a lot of talk about the bus crawl. And the effect that it would have had on the southern end of Barbados. There's also this situation where there's a very heavy input as far as the West Coast is concerned. But nobody has said where this intake has come from, where on the West Coast that this spread has taken place. You know that there was a second street. And we also know that somewhere along the line that the panel who was sitting down has never told us where on the West Coast this spread is, but they've told us about the bus ride. Now, Peter, the bus ride, I believe, somewhere along the line, the same way that the cruises were cancelled. I think you knew that the cruises were cancelled. I believe that since the bus crawl falls under the entertainment laws of Barbados, that bus crawl should have been cancelled as well. that bus call should not have taken place, having monitored the crews and having monitored on the West Coast. But here it is, the crews went on, the call went on without on notice. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise, right, on a crawl. A crawl, I had the privilege of going on a church crawl. And which...
They got a church crawl?
Yeah. I had the privilege of going on a church. And I enjoyed myself.
But the church crawl is going... Where do you start for the church crawl, is
it? The church crawl, I know we stopped out on the East Coast Road. Mm-hmm. We stopped in Bathsheba. And we stopped up there where the church hill is concerned.
I know, but where y'all stop, what you do on these church calls? You pray?
I think the music was played, because you know they got some Christian music that gives you a little body jump. But instead of that, the baskets were on board, because there's provision made on the outside of the bus for the holding of the coolers and the baskets of the people. Now, what I'm saying is...
So it's more like a picnic. It's really a church picnic in a crawl.
It's a church picnic. But,
it's a picnic, right, yeah.
But you know that there's still provision for get up and move your waist in the boat, on the bus. What has happened is that I realized that the driver of the bus was kids around. He was not involved in the exercise of what was going on outside, whether it was a jump up, crawl, or not.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it in the sense that it was a warning. There wasn't any alcohol on that. If they did, we didn't see it. So the whole essence behind this call, the foundation of this call, the bus call, the foundation of the bus call would have had to be that they were prepared for a celebration in terms of drinks. And in terms of body movement, now I know for sure that the crawl stopped would have to stop, because that is part of the exercise. The crawl would have to stop at various places, which would give the people to go and refresh themselves, do whatever they have to do, and come back on board the vehicle. But what I'm concerned about is the fact that we're not hearing of the north. We're not hearing where this spread took place in the north, because we're hearing that there's a vast spread in the north as well. But we're not hearing where in the north. And I think that is something that should be told to us, since we are familiar with the prisoners, the warders' crews. Then we should be able to know what has happened on the south coast. Another thing that is of importance, Peter, that if the fun cruises were cancelled, most of those people who had fun cruises on board one of those vessels in the port, council had enough time to cancel. And if that was cancelled, I believe that the crawl should have been cancelled as well, seeing that it falls under the same Entertainment Act, seeing that a sales tax is taken from the tickets that are being sold, seeing that it's an enterprise that is under the License Act, Highway Act of Barbados, then why was it allowed to go on and people would have had to know about that? The people would have had to know about that. It was not stopped.
I know the type of people. I think that when we start talking about types of people, that's where we run into problems. And Michelle is telling me that what you went on with the church was an excursion. It's not the same as a picnic.
Peter, it's not a picnic. Peter, I'm going to be honest with you, right? I'm going to be honest with you. I know what is an excursion. I know what is a standard bus ride that the transport board used to provide. I don't know what is the beach call. I wanted a bus call, because there's some four or five of those vehicles that are prepared for it. They occupy not only in terms of the excursion belief, but the atmosphere can change. You make the atmosphere what you want to make it. So
I agree.
Right now, what I saw in terms of footage.
But you were bored at the bus at the church crawl.
Because what I sat there and observed was that they still got some Christians who could whine.
Okay, okay. So they had waking up also, and even though they it was a church activity.
Not the Vaga walk up, but the hip movement. So
I'm learning something about you today, because I didn't know that you were of a Christian orientation. I thought that, unless that is now that you've gotten older, that you're going close to God.
No. This was a good way to go.
That was always you? Okay.
This cross. Before.
Also, that's not for now. That's for before.
Before I move on, I want to tell you that one of your regular callers, I believe you've seen it, and he had a lot of confidence in you when you were anything more aware. A fellow by the name of Harley Clement. He's bearing this week. He used to work at the National Sports Council. I think you would know he's very, very political oriented in terms of, right? So he has passed, and I extend condolence to the family.
I saw someone on the chat talking about this gentleman, but I don't rightly recall him.
If you look in Sanders' paper, you will see.
Okay, pictures in Sanders' paper.
Yeah, he has on his graduation gown.
Yeah, I would normally though hear him more recall his voice. You know, I would recognize the voice and so on. He didn't have a name that he went by.
Clement. Most of the time he went by Clement. Even though the front name was Hartley, very few people knew his front name. They knew him as Clement.
Mm-hmm. Right? Clement. Okay. Let me join with you in offering condolences to the family on his passing. You know, the impact that the Brastocks family has when a person passes is always significant, because we kind of become like a family after a while, a dysfunctional family nonetheless, but you know, it's all good. So I would want, on behalf of Dennis and myself, David and the others, to offer condolences to his family on the occasion of his passing.
Let me give you this one. Now,
quickly though, Mark, are we going to have to run? Yeah.
I'm moving now. I'm looking forward to the, what we call the, as heard this morning, that there's a possibility that we will see the war in the United States between the Democrats and the Republicans. Out of a voice clip that came out this morning. You listen to me?
I heard the voice clip on the
news this morning, and Trump is saying that all those people who went after him, he has 80 million people that will come after them the same way. So as far as he's concerned, he's advocating an internal war in this exercise. So we have to wait and see what's going to take place. Come the 20th, if he's going to succeed with his problems.
All right. Well, I hope he doesn't. And so, thanks a lot for calling, Mark. I see a advertisement. Someone has just sent the obituary here for the late Hartley Neville Clement. So, thank you very much for drawing that to our attention. Dr. Brastocks, you can call us on 434-1790, or you can email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. We're with you until 2 p.m., which means that we have just under an hour to sit, as they would say. Don Brastocks, good afternoon.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
I'm great.
Well, I ain't called to talk about COVID. I've talked to talk about issues that we had even before COVID, because everybody are talking about COVID, and there are other issues in Barbados that need to be addressed. I know, listen to the 12 o'clock news, and I realize that nurses are getting extra money, the frontline nurses. And Peter, we have policemen out there that are working hard day and night hours and have families and looking to take down the crime in Barbados. And they got some policemen that are going home when the month comes with $2,500. This is not fair in Barbados. This is really, really, really bad. I mean to say, there are two Barbadoses, as David Ellis said, there's two Barbadoses, because they got people in Barbados that are working extremely hard, and you could give one set of people money, and then you looking to give tourists money or tourist tickets. They got people in Barbados that are suffering really bad, and that's where the crime in Barbados will never go down, because the policemen realize that they don't have extra work to do, and they may get treated good. they may get in treatment in Barbados, and I'm calling to speak out for them because this is unfair. It is not right.
You know, ma'am, I agree with you to some extent, and it's consistent with what I've been saying on the program earlier. I am happy for any Barbadian or anyone who can get a hazard allowance, who can get a little more money in the hand and in the pocket, because everybody needs it. My concern is that your argument, the argument of the lady who called earlier, the argument of Ms. Undecided, are all on good grounds. There is almost everyone can identify a category of worker that has been placed under pressure and that has been taking extraordinary efforts to continue to do their duties. And against that background, government has to be very, very careful when it starts paying hazard allowance to anyone.
Yes, I understand that, because we have to look at it. Everybody is talking about how bad the police in Barbados is. By the end of the day, all of these fearful situations that we have to go to the police for some assistance. Don't work hard. We can see the police in Barbados, you got to give full respect to, because they work really hard. That's the truth, Peter. And you got to you got to give respect where respect is due. You can't leave them out. And I find the policemen is the ones that who's getting leave out of the game all of the time.
Well, I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say that the policemen get left out all the time. What I would argue, ma'am, is that I really don't know that you can say that there's a category of worker that can be included and a category that can be excluded. Because you're going to always run into, you know, what about undertakers? Should undertakers get a hazard allowance for handling COVID bodies? You know, you see, all of these arguments are entirely reasonable. And as I said, I'm happy for the nurses and doctors. But there are certain nurses who are not working in there. I had a conversation with a nurse who told me that she works directly with patients that are HIV positive. Right? And her argument is that that is doubling her risk because she is exposing herself to HIV positive patients in addition to people who are potentially COVID positive, and she's never gotten an allowance and she should get one too. Okay? I can't disagree with her on principle.
Right? I say we got to come to the realization and the facts that this is COVID, it's a pandemic, everybody at risk. Not one and all, everybody at risk.
And that's the reason why it's risky. It's risky to start saying that you're going to start setting up people.
The government have to think and signal and plan what they're doing seriously in this country, because it can come down to fear and unfairness, and that is what you don't want at this time. At this time, we need to work together. We need to work
ma'am,
together.
Yeah, ma'am, and I'm fully with you on that. I think that, you know, we have to be careful that we don't set a precedent. I do not think that paying a hazard allowance to nurses is comparable to paying for tickets for visitors and whatnot. That is a completely different situation. I think that the concept of a hazard allowance or a special allowance for COVID is something that has to be approached very carefully, because once you give one set of people, you are ultimately opening the floodgates for other people to make a logical claim that they should also get.
Exactly. You know?
So,
okay, thank you.
All right, ma'am. Thanks for calling, and good point that you made.